In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
We look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Our hope is Yahweh, Yahweh. We look to Yahweh, Yahweh,
Yahweh,
forever Yahweh,
forever Yahweh,
Yahweh.
One more time.
I look to Yahweh,
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 Yahweh.
I look to Yahweh.
Praise the Lord. Please be seated. God bless you. Let me just, I just feel led in my spirit to say one or two things and then we'll get to the word. Now, I must caution us. I have a responsibility to do this. I'm a spiritual man and I stand over you as a father and I must make sure that God is helping us and we are growing. Please listen carefully. Make sure that you do not allow the good things that God is doing in this season, whether in the areas of marriage, finance, and all of that, to begin to mount unnecessary pressure. Are we together? Listen very carefully. I must talk to you. We are spiritual people, and spiritual people are men and women who are governed by the word. I know that many of you, since last week, you've been hearing people announcing alerts and alerts. Some people have gotten alerts close to millions. And some person may just sit and say, Lord, but I attended the fast. What is wrong with me? And the devil can continue that conversation. You see that now. We have just announced people who are getting married. And especially for our sisters. Now, sisters, I love you very much. Because of your composition, please listen. I hope everyone is hearing. Because of your composition, the Bible says her desire shall be to her husband. So when you begin to announce things like this, chances are that, especially for our dear sisters, we can get into that pressure. When will mine come? Where will I stand? And if we are not careful, the devil can cash in on that desperation and frustrate us. Is that true? Some of us, because of the pressure, you will quickly go and say yes to someone that was positioned by, may not necessarily even be a Christian, just because you feel time is going and all of that. One of the worst things that can happen to a believer, and is proof of carnality, is when you begin to compare yourselves unnecessarily. The Bible says, and they comparing themselves with themselves are not wise. When it has to do with the things of God, you must be discerning. Are we blessed? Because there are many, many others, marriages that are coming. You will hear other testimonies. Rejoice with them that rejoice. And it is true, we are humans. Let me tell you, if it is God, you too will stand here. But you're not going to get it done through desperation, Facebook, WhatsApp, connections, what do we call it? All these antichrist systems. It matters how you get connected to marriage. This is something you're going to do for a lifetime, and don't allow that pressure. Sisters, are we blessed? Are we listening? Especially when you leave this environment and go to other fellow sisters like you who are not godly, chances are that they will sit down, a 30 minutes discussion will water down your whole prayer and fasting. Someone will come up and tell you a horrific story. Another person will tell you something else. And please, those of us who are parents here and those following online, let me encourage us. I don't believe that any godly parent should put pressure on their children to get married just as a way of massaging their ego. We are spiritual people. The Bible says He makes all things beautiful in His own time. So please, you're a parent here, you're a guardian, let's be careful. Sometimes we don't pressure people directly, especially for our dear sisters. There are messages, there are body languages that we communicate that put pressure on these people. You know, I counsel people and I talk to people all the time, and sometimes I try to discern what is the pressure behind, you know, this gentleman. He can't sit down, he has become a hustler. Anything he hears that is producing money, he wants to be part of it. And the reason is because at the back of it, there's someone somewhere mounting pressure on the gentleman. At your age, I already had a house. And the guy feels guilty for being 30 and not having a house. Whereas the pathway he's taking is the pathway that will lead him to that blessing. God gives people speed, but He does not rush people. There is a difference between speed and rush. Are we together? I just felt like introducing this to just keep our hearts together, because you see, our emotional levels are very different. There are people, just for this good news you see now, may not sleep for days. And that's not supposed to be an insult. It is because we live in a society that has become so emotional. Everything around you is speaking to your emotions. This is where being spiritual comes. A spiritual man is not somebody who prays in tongues. A spiritual man is one who has gained stability through the understanding of who God is and the integrity of His word. That's spirituality. Are we together now? Yes. So it's very important we continue to rejoice with our people and support them, but please, please, do not make a costly decision, especially towards the area of finance and marriage. Two important areas that no one at all who loves God. I will not know anybody I love and allow to make some of these careless decisions. By God's grace, we are here to help all our brothers, sisters make the wisest decision in the different areas of our lives. And where our experiences are limited, we are very open to recommend you to people who we believe their wisdom is worthy of reception. So please make sure that you don't make a mess of your life just because of societal pressure here and there. You may be having a trouser of 20 naira, have it with honor whilst you are trusting God to lift you. Is that true? Yes. And please, parents have contributed, and I say this with all respect and honor, in hurting and destroying the life of young people. They push us into seasons that were not directed by God. There are many people crying and languishing in marriage right now. There are many people whose whole lives have, you know, been reduced to shambles because of this mistake. So it's very important. Remember that marriage will have children. My father said something years ago that was very instructive to me. He said, it is parents that make mistakes. Children don't make mistakes. So if you know that children are going to come forth from your union, you should be honest enough to consider them in your decisions. When you are saying yes to an ungodly man, you are not only being wicked, you are being selfish. Because children are going to come from that union. And you are now submitting not just to a man, you are submitting to a platform. I'm not teaching on relationship tonight. I'm just trying to make sure that we are in a position where God can help us tonight. Are we together? For me, truly sometimes I get very surprised. Gentlemen do it, but our sisters too sometimes. People come to church, they hear the word of the Lord, and you labor. Do you know, let me tell you this, as a man of God and as a leader, your greatest joy is to see people use the truth that you are teaching and their lives are changing. So sometimes when I see the kind of, especially marital decisions that sisters take, I'm tempted to ask, is it that they don't understand what we are teaching? Or is it that they don't attend the meetings? Are we together? And some of you don't like me as you are looking at me like this, because you have trained your mind into believing that I might be antagonistic to your agenda. Only an unwise person, someone that has been at the focal point of your spiritual development, will God now use that person to destroy you? Is that not deception already? So many people run away. It is after they get married and go away and it backfires. Then you see them ringing your phone and disturbing you and saying all kinds of things. Just the act of humility to listen can save you. I always think about the children. You can do whatever you want with your life, provided you have a covenant with God that you won't have children. You destroy yourself and reap the consequences of your carelessness. But when you are bringing a child, I happen to be involved in the life of so many children, and sometimes I look at them and I'm very sad, because most children are paying the price for the selfish decisions. Some of us seated here looking at me now, you have lived your life paying the price of someone's carelessness. Don't reproduce that same result. Are we together? So please and please, in as much as we celebrate people, and all these people you see, I meet with them and I talk with them, I pray with them. So don't just forward any wedding card when we don't know you. We don't know how God helped your decision. We are not irresponsible people. Don't just say, I'm a member of Koinonia. Usually people hide under departments like prayer band. They say, I'm a member of prayer band, and just because they are looking for financial support. No, we don't do that. Marriage is not occult. It's something to be proud of. This is the wonderful lady I'm getting married to, and they talk to you. Is proud, is very proud of any gentleman to believe you can outgrow guidance. It's foolishness. Are we together? Is God helping us? Say, my children will glorify God through my life. Say it one more time. My children will glorify God through my life. What I suffered, my children will not suffer. The price I paid, my children will not pay it. That's a good husband, wife, father, mother. Hallelujah. Be happily married, not just married. Be happily married. Be happily married. Being married is a choice. Being happily married is also another choice. Being uncomfortably married is also a choice. The ball is in your court. Make a decision. Make a decision. Let your joy be preserved. Don't admire your single days after you get married and wish you were not married. That's not a good thing. Especially, I'm speaking for those of us who are men of God and those who are going to be called into the ministry. Let me tell you something. There are not many things that can give a man of God joy, because he's involved in pouring himself to people. So the few things that are around your life that can give you joy, insist that they are there. Prosperity can give you joy. A good wife or good husband can give you joy. Well-behaved children can give you joy. A healthy church with listening members can give you joy. Are we together? The things that give men, by the grace of God, the privilege that God has given me to rise in influence, and a number of others who have gone before me that we've had the opportunity to talk, let me tell you, greatness is a very lonely realm. If no one has told you, learn it. The life of great people is, they are busy, but there are not many things. They don't have a system. Very few systems give back to them. Somebody did something one day here, I think I've shared it. And the person said, Apostle, I want to hug you. And I did like that. They said, no, put down your hands, let me hug you. And suddenly it occurred to me that in years, it's me that has always been hugging. Even when you say, let's hug, I'm the one who reaches out. Something as little as that. So if your marriage, the only chance you have to be happy, you ruin it because of pressure and because of saying, look, this is the only guy that is available, and you destroy yourself, you will live an angry life. When Dr. Billy Graham, now of blessed memory, was launching his library, his wife had gone to be with the Lord, and he stood there. They were the presidents of different tenures together of the United States. They were all there to cheer him up. And he got up, and you thought he would talk about the whole library thing. And he just made one statement. He said, as I'm standing here, I miss my wife so terribly. I said, wow, that's an evangelist. There are many people who cannot say that. Forget these lies people do in the public. Many people are not happy. They are not happy. And they had a chance to be happy. They rejected it. But as many as received him, meaning you can reject him. Praise God. I'm talking about something else. But is it all right if we take 2 minutes to just pray for our families, our lives? Is that okay? Please pray. Just, you can sit down, just pray. Truly speaking, pray. I believe in family. I am an advocate of family. There is no responsible man of God. No responsible man of God who wants to raise believers whose families are in shambles. What prayer are you praying when your family is in shambles? Pray, pray. Don't look at me. Some of you are looking around. This is a serious business. Pray. Please, Lord, rescue me from this siege of darkness. This programming of Lucifer that he wants to use to destroy the destiny of a generation. Pray. Lord, I speak. You're married. Pray for your home. Pray for your own family too. Lord, there will be no repetition. The pain I saw growing up will not repeat itself. I disallow it from being featured in my own life. Pray. Don't say I'm not in a relationship yet. Don't say I'm not married yet. Or don't say I'm already married. It's too late. Pray. I insist to be responsible. I insist to provide for my family. Hallelujah. Please be seated. I think if this is all we do tonight, it was worth it. Somebody may be asking, Apostle, what do I do while I wait for my miracle? Behave well. Behave well. It's amazing how many people will miss the will of God because of bad behavior, not demons. I'm saying this especially with a bias to our sisters. Am I boring you? Is it all right if I just encourage us? Behave well. There is unexpected behavior that opens you up. Many people don't behave well. And we learned this from our society. We don't behave well. We are rude, dishonor everybody. We have been taught this demonic thing that we call class is a spirit that is eating up the destinies of people. Most ladies call commitment and seriousness being cheap. The moment you are required to put your heart in what you are doing, they say, no, I can't be that cheap. The society has sold a lie to us, and we destroy our homes. Most brothers, especially some of us that God has given a little influence, this our pride is what will never allow us move forward. We think we are big men. We want everything to happen in life at our own terms. No, sir. No, sir. Marriage is not by force, but if you must engage in it, please think of these children. Please think of these children. Forget about yourself. You can ruin your life and find something else to do. But don't bring any child on earth. We already have enough children on earth who are wasting away. Don't add to it. behave yourself well. Behave yourself well. What do I do while I'm waiting? Brother, be serious. Be responsible about your life. Is that true? Be responsible. Coordinate your life together. Where am I going? Don't carry somebody's daughter and add in your life and frustrate the poor girl's life in the name of marriage. Now, ladies should not marry men just because of a brighter future. I've said it, that's investment. However, a brother cannot carry a lady that is not going anywhere and keep wasting her time. You see many of our dear women all around suffering in the hands of visionless men. It's not that they forgot where they are going. They never knew where they were going from beginning. That's why we counsel people. That's why we talk to people. That's why many people are not happy, because they think that when you counsel them, especially where you have to tell them, no, this thing is not working out, they get angry, because in their minds you are an enemy of progress, not knowing that that's you delivering them from decades of pain. There are some mistakes that even if corrected, you can never have it the way it was again. Are we together? There are things it is best to get right once and for all. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get to the word. Koinonia is quiet. Were you blessed? That's the work of a good shepherd. To talk to you and love you too much. You'll be surprised that this little word now that I said is somebody's deliverance. Someone was about to make an unwise decision, and Jesus just came. Jesus, the way, showed you the way out of every nonsense. Please destroy any relationship that is going nowhere, and you can know that this relationship is not going anywhere. Get out of it immediately. A man that is beating you before marriage, there is nothing to pray about. Let him leave. If there is a problem, we have miracle service. We finish 7 days prayer and fasting. If he loved God enough, he should be here. Is that true? You see the signs everywhere. There are few people who get into wrong marriages not knowing. It's a lie. There are signs everywhere. Ejimi says, love is blind, but marriage will open your eyes. Most people, God showed them the signs, but they refused. They no. Oh God, you know that I'm not young. I'm not a fool. Don't think this person talking to you doesn't know what he's saying. Oh, Apostle, age is not on my side. I want to have my children first. Are you the first to have children? Children are a heritage from the Lord. One Isaac. There are people with 12 children. They died fast because of those children. Do you want a child or you want a blessing? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay. Tonight we are going to talk along the lines of spiritual growth. I thought through a few things during the week, and I like documenting my contemplations, and that's going to be the basis of our discussion tonight. Quite a number of things. Tonight is a very serious discussion, and I have been concerned, and I must admit to you that once in a while the Holy Spirit just brings it as a burden. I have been concerned about the body of Christ generally. I think about the body of Christ. I've been concerned about our growth as a body, not just as a ministry, but as a body. I thank God for the wonderful things that we record as a corporate body, the church. But I think that one of the greatest challenges, in my opinion, with the body of Christ is not demons, it's not fake men of God, it's not all of those things, it's not exaggerations, it's lack of growth. You can know that a church is growing by seeing certain exact things happen. You can know that a believer is growing. our indices that we have created to measure growth needs to be balanced and guided, otherwise we may fall prey of Satan's deception. Are we together? It is the will of God that every church must grow. It is the will of God that every believer must grow. But then we must examine our growth very carefully. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Read the first two words. Just first two words. Ready? One, two, read. One more time. One more time. One more time. It says, all scripture. This is the first error that I think the devil is bringing to the body of Christ. We are gradually edging out the richness of the word in an attempt to try to create some kind of balance, or create to further our perspectives. Really, that's the expression. We have started throwing away scriptures. The Bible says all scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Revelations, the Gospels, the Epistles, the Torah, the poetic books, all scripture is given by what? The inspiration of God, and is profitable. Everybody say, all scripture is profitable. Say again, all scripture is profitable. Genesis is profitable. Exodus is profitable. Leviticus is profitable. Deuteronomy, Numbers, profitable. Revelations, profitable. We've had all kinds of theology coming out right now that try to push some parts of the word to mean that they are not relevant in our context today, in an attempt. And I'm not just talking of what we call the grace movement alone. Not at all. There are many people who have come up with a system. Did you know that even certain recent versions of the Bible now are being so edited that certain volumes of chapters and books have not edited, taken away completely? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Number one, for doctrine. Number two, for what? Reproof. Three, correction. Four, instruction in righteousness. Next verse, please. 17. That the man of God may be mature, perfect, mature, complete, thoroughly furnished. That means if I exempt myself from the experience of certain truths as contained in this all scripture, I may be furnished but not thoroughly furnished. And there is a dimension of God that I may never experience. Are we together now? All scripture. I don't take the Bible and then stratify it and say, I'm just for the Gospels. I'm just for the Pauline epistles. I'm just for eschatology, the study of end times. I'm just for the Torah. I'm just for this. I'm just for wisdom, the poetic books. I'm just for the prophetic books. The Bible says all scripture. All, without reservation. Are we together? So let's be very careful. Now, I respect the body of Christ by God's grace, by position, as far as my love for the body is concerned. I think that I've already communicated it in the clearest form possible. That you know I love the body of Christ. I have extreme honor for the body. But we must be careful. I think we are making a serious mistake, and it's going to destroy us if we neglect the truth of scripture just because it does not sound comfortable as far as our perspectives about God is concerned. All scripture. All scripture. Growth is something that we all long for. We desire growth in any and every aspect of our lives. When we talk of growth, we talk of increase. Growth talks of increase. Increase in size, increase in capacity, increase in platforms, increase in access. All of these things are measures of growth. Increase in resources. But then the dimension of growth that I want us to focus on is growth as increase in the comprehension of truth. Comprehension of truth. Not just acquisition of things. Growth as seen by our comprehension of the truth. You look at the body of Christ, and there are many things that happen around the body that are statements. Statements that communicate to us that although there's action, although there's a lot of motion, although there is a display of gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, but there really isn't growth. And I'm concerned, because if we are not growing, then it means something will happen to us one day that will sabotage God's intention and desire for us. Are we together? I was watching TV, I don't know when was it, and a very nice program, and then the next thing, I think the worship team there were singing, and they just raised a song, and I couldn't believe it. I'm not talking of a secular song. I'm talking of a senseless song. Spiritually senseless. Do you know the kinds of songs? Now, I'm just trying to... Let's reason together. Can I continue? Is that all right? Look at the kinds of songs that we sing in church. Especially songs that we sing for praise worship sessions. It's clear that both the members and the singers don't think about what they are singing. Is that true? It matters. Don't say it does not matter. We sing songs that are not consistent with God's character of operation. Now, there are certain aspects of the faith here and there that we may disagree, but foundationally, there are truths that should be kicked out by every and all persons out of the body of Christ. Those informations are not for Christians. They are captured in our songs. Everyone just writes a song, and we are so concerned about the melodies, we continue to sing all kinds of nonsense and rubbish. We rehearse those songs, we score those songs, and nobody has the spiritual understanding to say something is wrong. Do you not know that singing is prophecy too? You are speaking to the destinies of people. How about teaching the word? Listen, most of us men of God think just because you read your Bible and you have intelligence to understand what it says, it means you can teach. Teaching is a gift, oh. Teaching is a gift. There is the gift. That office, there is the office of a teacher. But God can give you that access to understanding. So, the body of Christ is full of knowledgeable people. Knowledgeable people. Theologians. And men and women of God who are vocally sound. We have oratory. We have good speech command. And because of that, we believe that the moment you are a good communicator, you can stand and just pick one scripture, pick another, and put them together and begin to communicate thoughts. Look how misled and deceived the average church member is. Not necessarily because the man of God is bad, but his perspectives. Do you know that is when you stand before people to teach, you are shaping their understanding based on a viewpoint you are giving them. And it matters. You will be judged before God if you cause people to see life from a perspective that is erroneous. So scripture says not everyone should presume to be teachers. That you are quoting scripture does not mean you understand it. That your teaching looks complex does not mean you understand it. Men of God have dabbled into subjects in a Christian faith that they have not had unique illumination from the Spirit. And we have carved out opinions and arrogantly taught those opinions and misled members. So there is no growth. You hear it in our songs. You see how believers behave outside of church walls. No character, no good behavior, anger everywhere. Now, that person you see is a chief usher. That person you see, when it's time to lay hands, that individual comes. Can even be the pastor himself or the pastor's wife. Something is wrong. Are we blessed? Is God helping us? God desires that we grow. I think one of the most deceptive scenarios that make us think that we are growing is the display of gifts. Everybody say the display of gifts. Spiritual gifts. Nothing is more deceptive than rating the spiritual growth of an individual, a ministry, an assembly, just based on the flamboyancy of the gifts. Now, don't get me wrong. If you are growing, it must tell in your dispensing the power of God. However, using gifts as a platform for growth is a big error. Very big error. Let me tell you the truth. When I pray for Koinonia, I am telling you the truth. I'm not praying for the power of God to move. I'm not praying that I'll be able to prophesy and speak to people. No, I'm praying that the communications, the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart will be as revealed by the Spirit. You can wake me from bed and I can get up and go to a world conference. And that meeting, there will be such dimension of a move of God, you will think I've been fasting for 1 year. And so you will be deceived that just because you saw the power of God moving in unusual dimension, this guy must be deep in the Spirit. It's a lie. It's a lie. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Say gifts. The gift of the Spirit is never an accurate measure of a man's spiritual growth. So there is a problem in the body of Christ. Gifts are charismatic. Gifts are flamboyant. When you are gifted, you will have a lot of money, because that's value itself. People will come to you. People will sow into your life. You see that? You know, one time, I think we were in, was it 3 years or so ago, when Kano, I was ministering at a PFN conference, and you know, the power of God, wonderful things were happening. There was such a dramatic move of the Spirit, and all of a sudden, here comes this woman, this old mama. She just came out. I called out by prophecy, and I saw something about this woman. This woman reads her Bible. She finishes the whole Bible like every two or three weeks. She's an intercessor. Now, can you imagine that this woman came out in honor that I called her? And I would be foolish to imagine we're at the same spiritual level. When that woman stood before me, I saw a woman that knew God. Forget that she was not called into ministry. Nobody is inviting her. The woman would have been, to her it was an honor that Joshua Selman would lay his hands on her. If I had my way, I would just kneel down and hold her leg and say, please, whatever God did to you, may he do to me. But simply because I'm the one wearing suit, Apostle Joshua Selman, and everybody is seated, you see that. And because the mama does not look very intelligent, doesn't have all the PhDs and all of that, brothers and sisters, that is depth. That is a dimension of relationship. Are we together? But just because I'm standing, someone is shouting outside, someone, we are not trivializing these things. But sometimes we ourselves can be deceived. If I ask you who is the most spiritual person in Koinonia now, you will point to me. It's a lie. Oh. It's a lie. There was a woman called Anna the prophetess in the Bible. No crusade, no leading prayer. Even in the temple, they didn't give her any prayer point. But she was quietly seated, praying for the consolation of Israel. She prayed Jesus to appear. Let me tell you, some of the deeply spiritual people are not even in ministry. You don't know them. They are not on TV. They don't have any name. You see one old woman who wakes up 4 o'clock every year for 37 years. I don't think I have that kind of discipline. 4 a.m. Even if she sleeps by 2, by 4, she will wake up. There are women who get up and go and pray in one small local village church. They own the key of the church.
prayer time is 5 o'clock, but they wake up by 4. They are in the village praying, having the encounters that we brag around. That's their atmosphere of living. And yet, just because they cannot operate Facebook and they cannot make noise, we are here bragging around with our names all over Google, and people think that we are the ones who are spiritual. We must be careful what we call growth. Otherwise, we would deceive ourselves and deceive others. Is God speaking to us tonight? I have seen people and I have met people. Some of them have even come for counseling. When I stood before them, the depth of presence they carried. I'm not talking of anointing. No. Goodness. You look at them, and you yourself, after the counseling and prayer, you go back and say, God, Abba, God, am I not available again? I have seen them. I have seen people. I have seen people who, this vision thing we talk about, they didn't even know that's the name of what they were having. Before people started experiencing angels, you talk to them, they will say it casually. Oh, is it that angel? He comes to me. I'm 69 years. He started coming when I was 21. Just because they've not written a book and nobody knows them. The church must be careful. Just because you have prosperity, just because you have a crowd of people outside, just because you can teach the word of God, just because you have some measure of excellence, those things are wonderful, but they are wrong indices. Just because you can teach the word, just because you can call someone by word of knowledge, just because you can prophesy, just because you can speak, I can stand right now and tell you that somebody will shout outside. Not that God told me, me, Joshua Selman, somebody will shout. You see somebody jumping out and shouting. And just because I said it and it happened, you will now look and say, ah, this guy, only God knows what must be going. Nothing is happening. This is gift. Gift. We equate faith with money. So if I come and you look at what I'm wearing, if you think it is nice, you just say, Kai, this guy must have faith. Is that true? Is that really true? You don't like what I'm sharing this night? We have to be careful. The indices we have put together to measure spiritual growth is destroying the body of Christ. So there are people who will leave God. God, go places. Just give me a car and give me a suit and you wear it. And people say, my God, the word of God, you are changing in 1 month. A car, a house, miracle alert. Some of us believe that just because this alert entered your phone is a sign that your growth is tremendous. It's not. This is why those who don't experience those things go back and they want to give away the health of their status with God to get those things. The voice of the Holy Spirit is seldom heard in the body. Do you know you can walk in the gift of prophecy and yet not hear God?
Spirit break out, break our walls down, Spirit break out, heaven come down.
So I pray a lot tonight.
Spirit break out, shed on in na na na, break our walls down. Spirit break out, heaven come down.
Wrong parameters very wrong parameters. There are people who were doing well, but they left what they were doing because they want to embrace other parameters as defined by the body to show you are spiritual. They had a healthy prayer life. They had very healthy dimensions. Then just because one or two areas were not there, they feel intimidated when they stand. If I tell you stratify men of God now according to anointing and power, you say, Joshua Selman, you stand in front. Then one brother who is just a prayer warrior with his 200 naira trousers and palms, you say, stand behind. You too, are you? Can't you compare? You will be lying. You will be surprised that in the realm of the spirit, I will not even see that guy, not even close to him. Who taught us this? We were wrongly mentored to use wrong parameters. So those of us who God has helped to be highly gifted and anointed, we have created an impression in the body that just because the gift of the Spirit flows powerfully in your life, automatically, it means you know God. No. Didn't the bones of Elisha raise a dead body? I'm sharing with you my contemplations. That there's something wrong with the body. Am I against prosperity? No, never will. Am I against lifting? Am I against influence? No, but we're making a big mistake. Sometimes, you know, and I thank God for the privilege He has given me to inspire a lot of people. I consider myself to be an inspiration to many people in this nation and around the world, and I thank God for that privilege. I travel for meetings, and every time, as soon as I come out of the car, there's a row of young people overflow. I see the admiration. I see everything, and everybody is watching. They are watching what I'm wearing. They are watching it. They are hoping, will I fall when he passes me? And I just keep nodding my head. I'm saying, these people really do not know who God is. When you know God, it will take grace for you to want to go out of His presence, even for ministry. When you know God, it will take the grace of God for Him to tell you, look, son, I know you are, but you go out and do some other things. That's why we are not changing. Ever learning, but we are not changing. You look at people, they've been members of a church for 20 years. No change at all. They pray, they fast, they do a lot of these things, but the truth is there is no transformation whatsoever. Spiritual growth is not determined by how long you have been a Christian. Listen to me, let me clear certain things. Longevity in the Christian faith is not equivalent to growth. No, sir. Just because you gave your life to Christ in 1997 and you are celebrating your 11th birthday, as we say in the faith, does not mean that you have suddenly become matured. We pride ourselves in all of the same way. I remember when I was a baby Christian in 1999, because you gave your life to Christ in year 2000 and now it's 2018, you imagine that an 8-year-old baby would have been grown now, and then you now imagine that you too, you would have grown. No, sir. Our churches are full of people who pride themselves. They say, look, all these things you people are doing, we gave our life to Christ in 1964. And I say that with all honor. What happened from 1964 till today? You have been the same person. In fact, you have gone backward. More than 20 years backward. A man can give his life to Christ and in 1 year, with hunger and passion and fire, attain more in 1 year than someone will attain in 30 years. It's true. Overtaking is allowed in the spirit. Your growth is subject to your passion, your hunger, and many other things that I'll be showing you. But just get the record straight, brothers and sisters, and those following online, that longevity in the Christian faith does not automatically translate to growth. Truth be told, if you were doing business with God and you have stayed long, there is a lot you have to teach people. But just that you have stayed long on his own, that you remember the day you came out for an altar call as 20 years ago, that does not mean you are mature. A lot of baby Christians keep saying, when I was a baby Christian, whereas you can see the parameter. Spiritual growth is not determined by church attendance. That you have been attending Koinonia for many years, that you have been attending church for many years, that you attend service 4 or 5 times a week, as important and profitable as that is, that does not translate to spiritual growth. There are many church addicts who believe that just because they are addicted to church program, doing one thing or the other, oh, I'm a deacon, I'm a deaconess, I'm responsible for baptizing people, I'm responsible for school of ministry, I'm responsible for marriage counseling, I'm responsible for building. They have activities that commit them around the church for many years, and they think because of those activities, they are mature. So when you say, look, I remember when we started the building project, remember 1991, they nod to mean that, oh, that time when we were children, whereas they are still children by God's standard. Say amen. Spiritual growth is not determined by church attendance. Let me surprise you. Spiritual growth is not even determined just by the religious study of Bible. I describe it that way so that you don't think I'm against Bible study. There is a religious study of the Bible. Where men just... There are many theological experts who have read the Bible. The nature of their vocation, the nature of their work necessitates that they must read the Bible thoroughly and research, but they don't know God. Some of the people who translated this Bible did not know God. It is part of the reason why they did a lot of things to this Bible. It's not something to discuss now. Are we together? Just because you are around a Bible study group, just because you have been given an opportunity to be preached, to be preaching around or doing all of these things, does not mean you are growing spiritually. Hallelujah. Is God speaking to us? Not determined by any of those things. Spiritual growth is not even determined by the amount of testimonies you receive. All of a sudden, if I get a testimony Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, chances are that I can deceive myself that because I had 7-day stretch, it means I've entered a new dimension with God. No, sir. No, sir. Can just be that you are enjoying prophecy. Someone just spoke over your life and things are happening. But that may not be. Because there are people who say, if I am really growing, why am I not getting a particular testimony or this testimony or that testimony? And those who get the testimonies now intimidate others, say, well, you see, you are not getting anything. No, sir. Spiritual growth is not measured by ministerial growth. It's not necessarily so. Ministry can be growing, but you are not growing. Members are multiplying, but you are not growing. Branches are multiplying, but you are not growing. Sermons are multiplying, but you are not growing. Books multiplying, but you are not growing. The level of excellence in the ministry multiplying, but you are not growing. None of those things in themselves. They are only supportive reasons for spiritual growth, but not the basis for the measure of spiritual growth. Is God helping us? That's the reason why someone can raise a song and raise a song that does not carry any value spiritually. And the next thing you see, people just dancing and sweating and jumping, and you are wondering. I'm not teaching you to be cynical. You see, God is a merciful God. And I taught you the character of love, that love judges intentions more than actions. So God can see an ignorant people just dancing around for something that doesn't make sense, like idolatry. And He looks at the sincerity of their heart and still reaches them. But that does not justify what they are doing. Are we together? I'm going to share with you certain indices that will help you know whether you are growing spiritually, and will help you know whether the body is growing spiritually. Thank you. Do you know, I live a very busy schedule. Most of you know that. And honestly, let me tell you this. Sometimes I look at my schedules and I wish for the times when nobody knew me. I thank God. It's always a privilege to reach out to people and bless people. But sometimes I'm on my way going for a trip and I'm tired. I'm going for a ministration and I'm just there wondering, my God, here we go again. Lord, I do this because I love you. But I sit down and I admire those days that I can stroll out in the open and nobody knows me. I can go in peace. Now I hardly can even walk in the day. Someone can see you and embarrass you. I say, Apostle, I've been trying to see you. The queue was long. Now that I've seen you, please just speak a word. As if you are not a human being. Now that looks like fame, because I'm giving you a word of caution, because this is what some of you are dying to get. There is a side effect to greatness. Listen to what I'm telling you. You literally will lose your life. If you are not careful, you will lose your mind. That's why great people, you can see that they do a lot of things. One day you see a great person go and commit suicide. And you are wondering, how could someone so wealthy and influential hang himself? You almost don't have a life at all. We call it a celebrity lifestyle. As I just said, some of you are happy. You just say, oh God, give it to me. Be careful. Before you pray that prayer, please listen to me with your ears and your spirit. This thing we call celebrity lifestyle, it has a serious side effect to your Christian life. Am I rejecting influence? No. No, I will always balance what I'm teaching. But be careful. I look forward to the times when I can go and smuggle myself and hide somewhere. Do you know, for me to have time to pray, there must be a special arrangement. You must shift the phone away. You must off television. You must off light. You must find something to charge your atmosphere. I jokingly tell my boys, sometimes when I'm going to select the clothes that I want to wear, I just stand and I look at my clothes and I say, you see, this is how we sin against God. When I didn't have anything, I just go and in 5 minutes you've picked something out. But now that God has blessed you, which of the 100 shoes will I wear? Which of the 50 suits will I wear? They look little, but they are eaters of the quality of your life. Not just spiritually, but in every wise. They can rob you of the richness, the value of life and living. Listen to what I'm telling you. It's true. It's true. If you came to my house now and you saw me eating roasted yam, you will be surprised. Now, as if I don't have a right to do it. This is my own life, but simply because of the position I occupy. Apostle, roasted yam. No, it can't be. You see that? Let me tell you this. Not many people will admit this and tell you. This is how people die spiritually. Because your whole life becomes plastic. Everything, there is no realness between you and God again. Everything. Are we together? You can't lie down and roll before God again. No matter what happens to your growth, preserve the things that help you know God. Preserve them. Don't lose them while you grow. Don't lose the secret place while you grow. Don't lose the altar of prayer while you grow. If God grants you grace to build a house, build an altar for you and God. Build a garage for your car and leave God outside.
we must re-examine these truths as far as spiritual growth is concerned. Because believers, listen to me, it is important that we grow. Can I call you? Can I say, come Sheun, let's assume that Sheun just gave his life to Christ now. Please look up everyone. Let's assume Sheun just gave his life to Christ tonight. And I attach him to Dr. Emeka. I say, Emeka, please follow up on this person. Question: does this gentleman really know what to do? Most people don't know in church. They don't know what next. They just say, well, in our church, we have discipleship class, or we have foundation class, or we have baptismal class, or whatever. They just recommend you. When you say follow him, say, well, I have one small prayer group, come and join. That's all I know. Do you know, believers, we are so basic in our understanding. That's the reason why there is a lot of increase in membership, but no maturity. We are not matured enough. You can't give what you don't have. The average Christian does not know how to make another Christian mature. Even preachers. You see people hang around your life for a long time, they are not growing. I've had the privilege of going around men of God who are influential, and I've been surprised seeing the people close to them. No transformation at all, yet a heavily anointed man. One day Benihin got angry and fired all the bodyguards. He said they are all godless and they are not serious. They are just collecting salary. Benihin is sweating and raising people from wheelchair, and those guys are just there. They are concerned about the six pack and everything. He said, get out of this place. Till today he does it. When he's preaching and sees people start, said, leave my presence. It gives him memory of godless people hanging around him and not growing. That you are close to God does not mean that you are in line with Him. You can be close to the things around God, close to church. When they make altar call, you are the one who directs people. You are the one who does everything. And you can think because you are around the things of God. I will give you four indices that will measure. Thank you, guys. That are measures of your spiritual growth. You will know tonight whether you are growing. You will know whether your church is growing. You will know whether your family is growing spiritually. Ready? Number one. The first parameter to measure spiritual growth as given by God is your love life. Your love life. Write it down. Your love life. 1 John chapter 4, a long reading, 7 to 21. 1 John chapter 4, from verse 7 to 21. The first parameter to measure your growth in the kingdom is your love life. Everybody say, my love life. I don't mean love like love. You know what I'm talking about. Love. God and men. Let's read what the Bible says. Beloved, let us love one another. For God is love, and everyone that loveth is what? Born of God and knoweth God. Don't tell me you know God if I cannot see it in your love life. There are many people, we are still reading, there are many people who claim they love God, but there is no love in their life. They don't love God and they don't love people. The more, the deeper and the higher you rise in God, the more it translates to your love for people. The Bible says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is what? So don't tell me you know God just because you are speaking Greek and Hebrew and Latin and Aramaic. No. I look at your love life. You may not have all the charismatism around ministry, but I want to see your love life. Continue, please. 9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. It's a long reading. Let's see how far we go. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. He's giving you the character of the kind of love he's talking about now. And sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, please read on with me. We ought also to do what?
look at the kind of hatred, Ejimi, that is in the body of Christ among believers. I'm not talking of non-Christians. You look, palpable hatred, palpable resentment. Yet we keep writing books. We keep saying we love. We preachers hate ourselves. We have trained the members to hate themselves, and everybody hates everybody. A family of five people, they hate themselves. No man had seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That means I use love to show whether God is around your environment. If you claim you came out of his presence, if you claim you dwell in his presence, and I do not see love, the Bible is saying you are lying. Because that God cannot appear. So I will use love. Like you spray a perfume. And some of you who have very strong perfumes, when you pass, the perfumes can be, it can show that you were around this vicinity or you are around. That's it. God says that love is like the aura that flows. The epitome of his presence is love, not power. Love, not power. The Bible never said if you see power, just know God is there. It says that no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, then God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected. Perfected, full. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. We are reading to 21. It's a long reading. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is Son of God, and all of that. Next verse. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has sent to us. God is love. It says it again. And he that dwelleth in love, dwell in God, and God in him. So Joshua Selman, you claim you are spiritually matured. Don't just show me by the miracles. Don't just show me by the wheelchairs and crutches alone. In the order of priority, let me see your love life. Not your prayer life. Your love life. Many tongue talkers don't have any love. In that praying in tongues, there is even flesh in it. No love. Very powerful song. I'm coming back to that song. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. 18. We are reading to 21. There is no fear in love. Ah, look at this. There is no fear. It's not saying reverence. Fear. Fear. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has what? If my life torments you, and you are not a demon spirit, something is wrong with me. Because my life should encourage you, should challenge you, but not torment you. There are people whose lives are a torment to others. There are pastors whose lives are a torment to others. There's no love there. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear keeps people in a place of torment. There are people in church who cannot do wrong things and come to a man of God and say, look, I'm so sorry. I was in your house the other day and you noticed the Bonvita went halfway. Let me just tell you the truth. It was me. Because they already know, say you, okay, I'm coming. Let me just finish my prayer. Just wait for me. And the guy prays for hours. You are hearing him. He comes out sweating and says, sit down. What did you even say? And starts talking as though he was acting there. Because fear has torment. He says, we love him because he first loved us. Two more verses. If a man say, Joshua Selman, if a ministry says, if a Christian organization say, I love God, and what? Talk to me. Hated his brother. He said he is a, did I say it? All scripture was inspired. All scripture. That if Joshua Selman claims, I come here and brag around and say the power of God is moving, and I do not love Ejimi, I do not love Pastor Alpha, the Bible says I am a liar. And it tells you the reason why you are a liar. So be patient. He's explaining. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, It says, how can he love God whom he had not seen? You have somebody that claims you are of the same family and you hate the person. Then you turn to God and say, Lord, I love you. You are my Lord. You are my Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley. John says you are a liar while praying. Liar. While fasting, dry. Liar. While praying in tongues, liar. While on that crusade ground, liar. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth. Have you ever been told that it's a command? It's not just a choice. To love is a command. The level and the extent of hatred that is in church is scary. From we pastors, men of God, leaders, we train people to hate people. Let me show you growth. We can look at Koinonia today and know our level of spiritual growth as a ministry, not just by the power that flows, our love life. Our love life. Everybody say, my love life. I see your growth by how much you love people. I see your growth by how much you care about people. You just hear that, somebody lost something. It's good for him. He doesn't listen. No. You are here. Okay, what happened? How can we help? Love. I'm deep in love with you, Lord. Very powerful song. I'm deep in love with you, Abba Father. I'm deep in love with you, Lord. That's my confession tonight. That I'm deep in love with you, precious Jesus. I'm deep in love with you, Lord. Listen, let me tell you this. One of the reasons why many people cannot flow in the anointing is because there is no love. Love is like a cleaner that cleans the valve where the power of God flows. There are people who the power of God can barely flow in their life. They pray like fire, but their hatred has clogged the passage for the power of God to flow in. One of my greatest desires is even the meaning of my name, the way to love. I pray all the time that God will keep my love life for people, not just him. I can lie and pretend that I love him, but let it be shown by how I love people. Who is smiling because you are alive? Not just love. I love you. It's not the show of love. It's one of the ways. He said, how many of you will see a brother? Listen carefully. James was teaching us faith and works. You have seen somebody crying, hungry, and say, oh, I bid you Godspeed. He said, no. Believers are not caring. This is where the Orthodox assemblies, I doff my hat 1,000 times for them. Pentecostal people, because we believe in life, when a member loses a child, everybody just goes, we don't want to be associated with that pain. We are life givers. Hallelujah. Is that true? And we leave the people to cry, and we leave the people to go through all kinds of pain. But when there is celebration, oh glory to God, we are happy. Everybody comes around. This is my son. This is my daughter. This CEO, this businessman who was promoted. I remember the night vigil when I prophesied to him. Because we like being associated with things that massage our ego. Jesus wept at funerals. He was not too busy. He was touched with the feelings of people's infirmity. When he saw the woman who had 5 husbands and the 6th was not her own. I know what Joshua Selman would have done. Madam, and you have not come for Koinonia. What a stupid, lawless woman. But watch Jesus. The Jesus we are trying to become. We must make sure it's this Jesus we are trying to become. Jesus goes to sit at a well and begins to converse. Is she so important? I mean, Jesus, you would miss crusades to talk with this supposed woman. He that dwells in love dwells in God. We have given Satan room to perpetuate hatred among us I'll not be surprised if there are people seated here in this place tonight that don't even see eyeball to eyeball. They just hear the sound of one another. Good evening, how are you? And everybody just goes. No. Spiritual growth.
I'm deep in love with you, Abba Father. I'm deep in love with you, Lord. We're deep in love with you, precious Jesus. We're deep in love with you, Lord.
Hallelujah. The first, your love life, the way you love people. There is nothing more beautiful than seeing a human being who has value for life. That's why all these wicked dictators are going to hell if they don't repent. I guarantee you. They don't need any vision of anybody saying, I saw them in hell. That's where they are going to. If your life dehumanizes another human being, you are going to hell. I'm telling you this. Men are God's highest creation. Your life should never intentionally, listen to me, your life should never intentionally be the basis for the destruction of another. No. No. There are some of us, we claim we love God. We claim we are prayer warriors. We claim we are war giants. We are ministers, Apostle Joshua Selman. But people can never rise because of us. Someone comes to see you and goes back heartbroken and torn into pieces. Why are we like that? Just because the person did not achieve a task well. Are you this stupid? You mean it? You are doing it? You don't know who is talking to you. And then we feel, say, sorry, brother, bless you. How are you? Somebody just annoyed me. You are such an idiot. You are a stupid person. Huh? Okay, bless you, bless you. Who are you lying to? Don't laugh, I'm serious this night. Look at some of our parents on the way to church. On the way to church, who are the stupid people inside this car? They didn't wash this car and they're on their way going. That's the man of God. He's going to conduct the service. As soon as he drives, where is my Bible? He's talking to his wife now. I forgot. Honey, I thought you were kind. Don't honey me. You are a stupid woman. I always knew I made a mistake. After 17 years, you are still as stupid as you are. And then somebody just knocked and said, man of God, can I? Bless you. Bless you, brother. No. The Bible said, let that man know that he's a liar. Let that anointed man know he's a liar. Even with the anointing, he's still a liar. Love must be genuine. That doesn't mean people are not human beings. Don't just see anybody just pressing on you for something naughty and wrong you did and just say, you see what Apostle is saying. Oh. There are lousy people that deserve to be addressed in a way and manner. It's still love. Yes, still love. Love doesn't just... I'm saying this especially for we young people because we like being allowed to do anything we want to do, whether it's good or bad. No. He that loves you will chastise you. Chastise you. Can you say your love life is worthy of emulation? Can you say, whilst you are seated listening to me, whilst you are outside, those following online, can you say your love life, as you are seated right now, is worthy of emulation? Do you seek the good in everybody? There are people who are, is their whole life is like they rejoice over the pain of others. When they see somebody laughing, they say, well, why are you laughing? What's the laugh for? Well, I'm just the glory of God. So what is there to laugh? Am I looking like a clown? Abba, how can your life be so sad like that? Love. I love people. I love the workers in this ministry. I love you with all my heart, every one of you. Ask God, He will tell you. Yes. Let me see your love by how much you lay down your life for your sheep. Let me see your love by how much you can sacrifice, not how much you use people. Do you know, there are times people sow seeds for me here, and I look at the people sowing the seed, and I look at the kind of seed they are sowing. I feel so guilty. So guilty. I'm fighting with myself. Some of you, as soon as that seed is coming, say, hey, why did you put it in an envelope? How much is it? Okay. 7. Is it 9 or 7,000? Say it's 9,000, sir. Say thank you. Father, bless the person. Then you know that the person's need is not even your concern, just to receive. I really love people with all my heart. It's one of the secrets of my work with God. I don't just love God, I love people. And I'm careful to use that word because it's true. You must love people. As a father, do you love your wife? Do you love your children? Are you compassionate? Many of us don't have compassion. This thing called compassion, the ability to be touched with the feelings of people's infirmity, weakness, limitation. Say me, I'm not an emotional person. No, it's not about crying. You must not cry to show you are. I'm not an emotional person in terms of cry. But anybody, the more you know God, the fortitude to forbear with people, to understand with people, must be there. I remember one time someone just knocked my gate, bang, 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 bang. And then I came, I opened the door, and I saw a woman standing wearing hijab. And you know, she was just asking for this. I actually was sad because of the way she was knocking, you know. And then I looked and I just saw tears. That's it. I just said, no. What is wrong now? And I brought out some money, just put something and gave her, and she went away. You know, sometimes children will just gather themselves like this and come and knock the gate and stand as if I asked them to come. Now, when I see those children, truly speaking, I know what they are doing is wrong. But how will you start beating? You see the way the hunger ravage faces. I have to just find something and give them. Because if I give them money, I know they'll go and collect it. So you give them something they can eat there and then. Do you have compassion? Some of us, I don't mean to insult you. I'm sorry if I do, but you are wicked. Yes, you are wicked. It's not an insult, it's a description. It's a state of your heart. You can watch people in pain and act as if it's not my concern. No. You can see hungry people and come with 1,000 naira, change it, buy food there, eat the bones, take minerals, squeeze the leather, throw it and say, I'm going for corridor there. See, we'll see now. No. You are not tender hearted. Your heart is hard like iron. The Bible speaks about those people that he will replace a heart of stone. Say a heart of stone. Say it. A heart of stone with a heart of flesh. A heart of stone. Some of us, our hearts are like stone. Someone calls you and says, look, something is not working well in my life. And just look, say, so how is that my business? Sorry, sir, they just threw me out of my house. I just felt like sharing it with somebody. Even if you don't have house rent to give them, can't you pray with them? Please, let's be careful the way we treat people. It is a proof of spiritual growth. Love. Sometimes I'm tired in the night, very tired. I just try to stroll. I'm strolling and I'm just seeing a missed call. I can check sometimes 32 missed calls, one line. And I just pick the call. Hello, who are you? And you hear the person saying something silly. He's this Apostle Joshua Selman. He said, man of God, I'm privileged. You are calling me by two. What's the issue? Sir, I have many things. I don't even know where I will start from. This guy, 32 missed calls. You would think someone is sick in the hospital. But that guy just got off sleep, didn't come. You see, so I agree that men can be annoying. Let's be very honest here. Men can be very annoying, except you are not a leader. Human beings, they can be annoying with their ingratitude. They can be annoying with their sarcasm. They can be annoying with their sense of cynicism and disrespect and dishonor. Yet the Bible says that you love. Everybody say, I choose to love. Say it again, I choose to love. Say, I choose to love. I want you to stand up, walk around to 10 people and just hug them and tell them, I choose to love you. For the sake of Jesus Christ. Some of you, it's not for the sake of your bad behavior, for the sake of Jesus Christ. I choose to love. I let go. I choose to love. I choose to love. I choose to love. It's a decision that I've made. No matter how annoying you are, I choose to love. No matter how inconsiderate you act, I choose to love. It's a choice. I choose to love. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please be seated. God bless you. Please be seated. Let's settle down. The second index to measure your growth is the manifestation of character. Character. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. Many of us don't have it. You have the Holy Spirit, but you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 22. Galatians 5, 22. But it doesn't matter what perspective you look at it from. We're looking at all nine of them. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Look at me now. This thing we call the fruit of the Spirit is the summation of what we call character. Character has nothing to do with personality. I'm quiet, I'm loud. If the fruit of the Spirit describes the habitation, the atmosphere that produces character, love, joy. Brothers and sisters, joy is not happiness. If you don't have joy, you don't have character. Every time we talk of character, many of us just look and excuse ourselves in pride. I'm not smoking. I'm not looking for any man's wife. So you think because of that you have character. No, sir. Joy. Rejoice in the Lord. And let me tell you, I know your joy when you are under pressure. Pressure is where joy is demonstrated if you are spiritual. You just had that your phone that you bought, 120,000, somebody just stepped on it, and you are saying, I'm going to kill this person. I think, well, sorry, we are human beings, don't you make mistakes, you too. You are annoyed, but joy. Everybody say joy. There is that state of merriment in your heart for no reason. They just tell you, look, your mother's health issue is getting complicated, and you just say, in the name of Jesus, I'm happy. Joy is in my heart. Some of the saddest people in the world are believers that claim they have the Holy Spirit. Watch them as they drive around the road. Watch them as they talk. There's no joy. You see unbelievers, sometimes they even hear bad news and they just laugh it over and go and take beer and maybe smoke or go around, and that's the end of it. They sleep under the bridge. By morning they get up and that's it. But a believer, joyless life. And you find out that you can't receive anything. The Bible says, he that sows in tears, he will reap in joy. It didn't say he will reap with joy. He will reap in joy. The atmosphere that will bring his receiving harvest is joy. If there is no joy, the harvest does not arrive. You sow in tears, not with tears, but you reap in joy. Joy is what calls harvests. I know your spiritual life by how you rejoice even in the midst of pain. You go to the board, 3 carryovers. God, you disappointed me. Give me back the 10,000 that I sold in Koinonia. I gave project 10,000. I tied all of this.
The joy of the Lord is
God. That's what you see. You come and you see your car. They've removed something. You kept the car in the market to quickly go and buy something. And all these touts remove all kinds of things. They remove one part of the light. It can be annoying. And you stand there, and the devil is trying to tempt you.
No, Satan, you will not see my tears. I choose to rejoice. A brother just walks up to you and says, look, I'm just announcing to you, although we have done the traditionals, something came up. I will marry you again. Now, don't lie that you'll be laughing. So let's be human. There's going to be pain. But, this is where spirituality comes in. Listen, this is where spirituality comes in. You know that a man can receive nothing except it is given. So, Lord, I give you thanks. And you just begin to say, Lord, I thank you. I give you all the praise. I give you all the thanks. And tears coming out of your eyes, you don't hide it. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Ah! Brothers and sisters, I show you a mature Christian as one who produces joy in his life regardless of circumstances. Regardless. If I'm here right now and they tell me my house is burning, let me tell you the truth, I won't be happy. But to say maybe I won't be able to sleep this night, me, Joshua Selman, no way. Lord, I give you praise. Thank you that this house burnt and I did not die inside. I give you thanks. It would have been worse. It is the mind that brought everything is still alive, so I'm alive. I've not really lost anything. Joy. Peace. In this troubled world, some of us don't have peace. It's not just the word shalom. Are we together? This peace you see is a revelation of the ability of God to be in control. Control. My God is in control. I need not fear. What can man do to me? I need not fear. A great man in this country was kidnapped by assassins. When they caught him, they were about to kill him. And they said, look, and they looked at him. He was restful. Very, very restful. And they looked at him. They didn't know what to do with him. He wasn't begging. Well, okay, go out to the back of my wardrobe. That's where the money is. If it's the dollars, check the other side. The guy was there. Restfulness. We live in a troubled world. You must have peace to survive. Most people don't have peace. That's what causes high blood pressure. There's no peace, so they worry. They worry about everything. Who will marry me? I hope I will have a child, though. I hope I will have a house. Lord, where will I settle? Will I be in Zaria or this? You are about to write jam, yet you are asking God, Lord, when I finish university, who will be my wife? What kind of worry is that? He makes me lie down in quiet waters. I receive grace to walk in peace. You must receive it. Grace to walk in peace. You are full of the peace of God. People just come and say, look, hey, the whole world is getting, the sun is going to hit the moon. One object, we don't know, one UFO will soon hit the earth next week. I'm in peace. Great peace have them that trust him. In nothing shall they be terrified. Great peace. Great peace. Everybody say, I have peace. Say it, I have peace. Say, I refuse to worry. Prophesy to yourself, I refuse to worry. This is the measure of maturity. This is where our orthodox circles beat us supposed Pentecostal people hands down. You will see a woman who had a car accident, four of her children right there on the floor. One no head, one no hand. And you see her singing a song. Crying, but singing a song. You try to stop her. Say, no, you people should not cry. My children are in heaven. This is the person who should be crying, comforting you. Great peace. Our emotional world that does not trust God, we are perturbed at everything. I will give you a job tomorrow. Hey, Lord, I thank you. I call you by 1 a.m. Something came up. That job is not, oh God, why are you doing this to me now? Stability, restfulness. My God is alive. Is God teaching us something tonight? Long suffering. Another word there is patience. In our world of fast food, quick tea, Indomie, ready made food. There are other foods that just drop it, put water, and up you go.
We are in a rush. We don't have patience. It's led people into all kinds of things. We are impatient. Do you know there are people, if only they were patient for one more day, they will see the salvation of the Lord in their lives. You've been travailing just when your miracle is about to come. Impatience cheats you. Do you know, let me tell you how to know your miracle is coming. The flesh begins to become so uncomfortable. It starts offering alternatives. The moment this starts, you were praying non-stop for 2 weeks. Just 3 more days, it looks like you are praying for 1 year. It's a sign that result is coming. The devil is trying to touch whatever he can touch, so you don't have the staying power to remain and receive that. I choose to be patient. There are men of God who is impatience that drove them to go and collect power from sorcerers. The power is not working now. They have not experienced increase. Impatience. Some of our parents are in huge debt today because impatience did not allow. There are young people today. Just be patient for 1 year and build. No, I must marry by latest by June. They go and borrow 1.2 million. At a 30% interest rate per month. And they don't think well. They just go and borrow it. And Satan, you will use that money or health, not even the marriage. That's Satan for you. Impatience has cheated our world of young people. Someone sent me a text, I should pray that he must go to, is this Cyprus or where? That he believes in the word of God upon my mouth, that his mother is the one sponsoring him. I replied him back. I said, young man, your mother cannot afford your fees. Why must you go to Cyprus? He's already studying Nigeria. He wants to leave it. Not that something is wrong. This supposed, let it be that me too, I read abroad. That gentleman now will allow the devil use him to yoke his poor mother to send him to Cyprus or send him wherever it is that he was going. I didn't pray for him. Gentleness. The character that typifies this is the dove. Many of us, we are not gentle. We miss out on everything because we don't have gentleness. Many of us are introverted, so we think we are gentle. You are not. Don't confuse your personality with the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of the recreated human spirit in touch with the Holy Ghost. That you are a quiet person. There are people who they just look depressed. It doesn't mean they are gentle. They can be wicked and wild. It's just that they are slow to doing it. It doesn't mean they won't do it. Gentleness. The way you eat, the way you act, you knock on someone's door, your presence is not inviting. Your approach to life is harsh, very wild. Goodness, benevolence, goodness, not just kindness, goodness. A measure of your giving, not just money, the ease at which you release things to improve people's lives, goodness, not just giving. Faith or faithfulness. Let's go to the next one, 23. Meekness is similar to humility. Meekness, esteeming people better than yourself, or at least not degrading people to rise. Temperance, self-control, knowing when to speak and when to keep quiet, knowing when to keep quiet even when you have what to say. The Bible says, if a man err not in words, that man is a perfect man. Perfection is not measured just by what you do, but the ability to keep quiet. Do you know the level of spiritual maturity it takes to be silent when you have something to say? A man is counseling you and is making blunders. He's quoting wrong scriptures and you are very sound in the word, yet you keep quiet. Oh yes, daddy. Oh yes, yes, daddy. And the man is quoting one scripture that doesn't make sense and saying something that is a total waste of time, honestly. But you have the fortitude, yes, daddy. At the end of it, he releases a blessing. Every other thing was false except that blessing. That one, you can be sure you got it. But someone, daddy, sorry, just to correct you. That verse is Old Testament. Daddy, you are getting old, your memory. And you are saying something that is so pungent and offensive. And you say, it's how I am. I'm very expressive. Character. Let me give you a few other scriptures. We may not consider them for time's sake. Very quickly, write this down. Romans chapter 5 from verse 3 to 5. Let's look at that one at least. Romans 5, 3 to 5. Then I'll give you two others. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. Please write it down. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. And then Colossians chapter 3 from verse 12 to 15. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 12 to 15. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, chapter 5 from verse 3. It says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope." 5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost." He was talking about people sustaining the staying power in times of tribulation. Can you go through difficult times and still give God the glory? Do you sustain the fortitude to not curse God? Like Job's wife suggested he do. And Job said, no. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Say amen. Number 3, the third index for measuring growth for a believer, for a church, for an assembly, is God blessing you tonight? Is understanding your love life, character, understanding. Hebrews chapter 5, please give us from verse 11 to 13 quickly. Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 11 to 13. It says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Go ahead. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." This guy is saying, by now, based on my investment in your life, you should have attained a level where you should be teachers. But you are still there struggling with the foundational things of the kingdom, barren of understanding. It says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." No matter how long he has been in church, no matter how old he is in age. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. Then we look at chapter 13 verse 11. Quickly please. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I meant to say 14. 14 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. Let's read together. It's projected. One, two, read. "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." This is Apostle Paul for you. This guy was really a man. He said, when it comes to malice and all these other foolish things and nonsense, be children. Be children. But when it comes to the issues of understanding the kingdom, be men, be matured, grow. There's too much childishness in the body of Christ. There are truths in the kingdom we must know. Your identity in Christ is the foundation for your growth. Who are you in Christ? This is not just a denomination's perspective. It is the order of growth. Because if you do not know who you are and who you are in Christ, like the book of Ephesians opens us up to, every other thing will not work well. I know my positional advantage in Christ, my oneness with Him, that understanding is enshrined in my mind forever. Regardless of what I do from the standpoint of that understanding. And then other ordinances of the Spirit. The Bible talks of the doctrines of baptisms. The Bible talks of other things, foundational things that must be in place. the ministry of prayer. At a level in the spirit, you should not be taught the basics of prayer again. That if somebody is oppressed, they say, have you prayed? Say, no. Say, pray now. I say, okay. Didn't you know? After how many years in church, must you be told to tithe? All this coercing that pastors coerce people. No. Time for the word. You have to coerce people. God has something to say. You are getting the attention. Listen, listen. And then the song is really working for them because they would not have listened. What sort of a membership is that? Are we together? You should have grown to the level where you have seen the value of the word of God. Do you know, I'm surprised when I see people gisting and talking around when the word is coming. It's satanic. It's an attack. Because when the word comes, it is sent. The preacher may be preaching it, but God is sending it. The one thing Satan supervises himself is the word. The bad soil. Immediately Satan, not a demon, he came and took the seed by himself. Everybody say understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Paul again is teaching us. You are not growing spiritually when your understanding is not measuring up with your supposed growth. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. So I can know you are a child through your communication. I understood as a child. You can look at one of these, our little ones, and promise them aeroplane. And first thing in the morning, they come to you with confidence, believing you actually will get them aeroplane. That's how many of us understand spiritual things. The devil will tell us every kind of nonsense and we still believe it. Although you know he can't do it and you still believe it. That's understanding as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away, including childish understanding. What is your understanding like? What do you know about God today? There are some things the devil will never try to bring to my life with all humility. I have gained understanding more than that. There is no message on earth that will make me stop tithing. No. It's a persuasion. This is not a denomination's perspective I adopted. It's a revelation that has become spirit and life. You see that? There is no amount of revelation that will make my tomorrow less than my today. No. I've caught the keys. It's been given to me. Koinonia will never go down. Let me tell you. It's not pride. There is an understanding that sponsors that position. What do you understand today that gives you stability? If I get a text now and someone says, Apostle, just to let you know that tomorrow by this time you are a dead man, what do I know that gives me confidence? I went to minister somewhere, we are going to pray shortly. I went to minister somewhere and a man who God gave them a miracle of a child. There was a herbalist, Ejimi. The herbalist made, I don't know, I can't get the full import of the story, but there was some incantation and the herbalist vowed that nobody can break that whatever jinx and the rest. And all of a sudden, I was in that church and I prophesied to them that they were going to have their child. Now, when I went back to Mina and they showed me the child was there and the herbalist was dead. I didn't kill the herbalist, a mystery killed him. A proud man who was taught by another ignorant man concocts a charm and claims there is no man. Remember, people have made those kinds of stupid statements in the Bible. Shall these things be that even if God will open the windows of heaven? God said, me? You bring me into the equation and act as if I'm one of your rulers. You will see it, but you will eat of it. They stamped that guy to death at the gate of where the breakthrough was. Our stability in the kingdom is through our understanding. I can give everything I have today and go to bed in peace because I know how it came. I know how it comes. I know how it will always come. We can go and start Koinonia anywhere that God grants us grace, and this same result you see will be reproduced verbatim
is based on understanding. It's not luck. What do you understand about God? What do you understand about finances? What do you understand about marriage? What do you understand about the voice of God? What do you understand about the anointing? What do you understand about redemption? Don't just tell me I know. Mm-mm. It matters who trained your understanding. There's something that you have been taught that makes Satan such a big deal to you, that your entire life revolves around just being careful and awareness of his presence. There are things I understood about Satan that gave me rest in my life. It is true. You can't be doing what I'm doing if all you have is anointing. The devil will destroy you. He will destroy you, I assure you. Hallelujah. If I'm sitting outside taking a fresh air and my eyes is open and I see a demon spirit pass, I'm not going to say anything. He didn't talk to me. Just go wherever you are, to and fro. Up you go. I pity the spirit for seeing me because he won't be the same. I don't have to pray. You see that? Already that mission is failed for sure, at least for that day. At least in my presence. Now, the light shines in darkness. It didn't say it shines in the night. It shines in darkness. Darkness is not a state. It's a person. The light shines in darkness. The prince of darkness. You cannot see the light and act like you didn't see it. No. I can never pray for you and your life remains the same. It's not true. Either the devil will attack you from that prayer or breakthrough will come. You will never be the same. That prayer will do something. It may increase the attack in your life because the devil is agitated that you came. Or it can bring breakthrough or something. Just know that you will not be the same. It's impossible. I believe this. I have been saying this thing for many years. If I were lying about it, you would see it by now. Brothers and sisters, I have been raised up with Christ. Truly, I believe this. It is not Kenneth Hagin's ideology. It is not E.W. Kenyon's ideology. It is the truth from Scripture. Far above. Bishop Oyedepo will call it a far above mentality. I really am above. Above occultic powers. Only God knows how many of them have my names now. They will call on my name like Baal from morning till night till every year, and nothing will happen. What do you believe about God? What do you believe about yourself? I believe I will never be poor. It's not the issue of, okay, I like money or I don't like money. I can't undo it. The process has been ignited. It can never be undone. Understanding. I will have to undo everything I know. It's too late. This I believe. Koinonia will never go down. No. It's not the issue of, let's pray that it will... Let me tell you the truth, brothers and sisters. I don't mean to be arrogant. Believe me, there is a finger holding this ministry. It's not standing upon space. There is a hand. He upholds all things by the word of his power. The right hand of God, able to hold men and keep them standing. When all is said and done, to him be the glory. Standing. What do you understand about your job? What do you understand about favor? What do you understand about prayer? Is God helping us? These are the things that make us spiritual. When I'm invited for a meeting, what do I understand about myself, about God, about the anointing that will bless the people? If you invite me for a meeting, what do I understand? Do I know that I am a blessing? If you know you are a blessing, you are not going to meet any church member and tell him, look, I'm prophesying to you, sow 20,000 naira to my life. Anybody that does that is not a wise man of God. It's because you do not understand God. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. I can't claim I know everything about this God. But brothers and sisters, there are some things I know. The more you know God, the more you know yourself. The only way to know yourself is in knowing him, because you are a reflection of him. Here's what the Bible has to say. The Bible says,
in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. It says, but we all with open face, listen, beholding as in a glass, not beholding ourselves, beholding the glory, then we are changed. Like the animals of Jacob and Laban kept looking at something, and the children they gave birth to were after the order of what they were looking at. The Bible says, as we behold him, all I see in my life is the glory of God. All I see in my life is the glory of God. Truly speaking, this is not just some nonsense confession. All I see in my life, I am an expression of the glory of God. All I see in my life, I have made my eyes single like a flint to see the glory of God. I see his faithfulness. Whatever does not work out the way I want, God is up to something. Lord, I see your glory. I see the glory of God in Koinonia. Don't allow Satan alter your perception and see the world as negative and see everything as if the whole world is coming to end. The whole world will not end by a crisis. God will end the world he started. It's not all this nonsense that people move around and say one thing is coming to hit the earth. It's not today. Before you were born, it's been going around the earth. There is the keeper of the earth. The earth is the Lord's. The landlord can lock his door and say it's over this time. Everybody say understanding. Number four, the last index to measure your spiritual growth is the outworkings of the power of God in and through your life. The outworkings. Listen, it has to be in this order. Your love life, character, 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 character. Understanding, gain understanding, understand the systems of the kingdom. It's a risk to just walk around like that. And then finally, the outworkings of God. Don't tell me you are growing and then your body cannot become a host for the glory and the power and the grace of God. No, the Bible says to grow in grace and to also grow in the knowledge of God. I must be growing in the anointing. You should be able to look at my life and know that last year, this was the dimension in the spirit, dimension in power and anointing and authority. Today, this is the dimension. I have seen people who have not backslidden, but they've not grown either. They have pegged themselves at a level. The grace for performance is not in their lives. Talkatives, talking all kinds of things. The semblance of power, but there's nothing to demonstrate the reality of the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then he says, for the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power, the demonstration of power. I should be able to see the power of God working in your life. That a sister should be able to say, look, I've been in Koinonia 2 years. What's the challenge? Let's agree. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release your power over this situation. And 2 days later, this gentleman calls and says, sister, I don't know you, but my goodness, you are powerful. You said something. You made an utterance. And the realm of the spirit responded. Let me tell you, when the realm of the spirit hears you, you are powerful. It's true. You are powerful. Many powerless believers. Prayer is not just power automatically. Prayer connects you to God. It is God that gives power. Prayer does not give power. People move around deceiving themselves that just because they are praying, power is coming automatically. No, sir. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian because a prayerless Christian has no contact with God. And so there is no release of power. It is not prayer that gives power. Prayer is like a rope. It connects you and God. It is you. God is the giver of power. Many people keep depending on prayer to give power. That's why they pray forever and never get power. There is no place in scripture where prayer should give you power. It is your connection with God. Prayer connects you to God. The same way faith too. Faith in itself does not give you result. The assignment of faith is to connect you to the anointing. It is the anointing that is the system of performance in the kingdom. Because we don't know these things, we keep confusing the things around. I believe in the power of God. My life is built on it. I'm unapologetic about the power of God. When I talk of power, I'm not talking of falling down. When I'm talking of power, I'm talking of results. Results that can be reproduced. That I can bless you. I can program a climate of possibility upon your life. There is an agency in the spirit that grants men access to do that. Do you have it in your life? I know you have been falling down every week, but do you have it? Can you say the power of God is working in your life? We need power in this life, not just for warfare. A validation of the hand of God upon your life. There are men of God who are powerless. They just say, I'm not calling to all these things. I'm a slow, quiet person. It's a lie. There's no gift of, there's no ministry like that. It's a lie. Everybody is called to be a demonstrator of the reality of God. Let me see the power in your life. There is the power to get wealth. Where is it? If wealth is not in your hands, then the power is not there, or it's not being used. There is the power that brings influence. There is the power that compels demons and principalities to be subject. There is the power that heals the sick. You don't heal the sick by desire. It takes power to heal them. Virtue. Virtue went out of Jesus. Not the apostles, not the disciples. Changes are created by the presence of the power and the anointing of the Spirit. You are a blessing when you are powerful. You are a blessing when you are anointed. Believers, hear me. If we truly grow in the Spirit, we should be powerful. But look that blend of love and power. That reminds me of the lion and the lamb dimension. The lion is powerful, courageous with an attitude. And then the lamb, sacrificial, full of love. You can't just be powerful alone and not have love. No. Love should come above power. Character should come above power. Understanding should come above power. If you have power without understanding, it will not last and it will be misused. It is understanding that coordinates the delivery, the dispensing of power, so that it will be dispensed in accordance to God's principles. I can have the gift of visions and not have understanding of the word, and I can abuse that gift and destroy people. Power, no understanding. As we pray tonight, I want to ask you a very serious question. Are these parameters working in your life? Can we honestly say, as a family of believers, that this is our experience? Can we say that our love life for one another and for men is ever increasing? Can we say we are growing in character as a corporate body? Are we kind? Are we loving? Can we forbear? Have we learned to tame our words? Have we learned to minister life to people? Or are we still priding ourselves with Greek and Hebrew words, moving around and saying, oh, I gave a revelation somewhere, I gave a Hebrew word, oh, it's Mimshak, it's Exousia, it's Anakazo, it's this, and we move and nod around thinking we are growing. We make a fool out of ourselves. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and I have not love, he says, I am nothing. That even though I offer my body to be burnt, though I have understanding of all mysteries and I have not love, I have nothing. I want to live my life and live my days having these four things in ever increasing measure in my life. That 10 years from now, you will be able to look at me and say, this guy loves God and loves people more. Not that this guy has built several ministries. He's become a global voice. And Enoch walked with God and he was not. Not that he built churches. Not an Enoch wore suit. He was a suit of 1 million. And Enoch walked with God. And then character. 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 The manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. That somebody can insult you and say, Pastor Alpha, just to let you know, you are the most stupid man of God I've met. And you can read the text and say, well, it's just his opinion. The Lord bless you. And not be under pressure to reply him back and say, I curse you now. Jesus for you. Ah! What manner of man? Jesus inspires me. He truly is a mentor. He's not just a father. He's not just God. When Jesus mentors your life becomes a wonder. You will sit in the middle of all kinds of things and just watch life like this. Apostle, I'm suspecting you're a herbalist. That's all right. It's your opinion. Where did you get your power from? I've been suspecting you. No problem. You can suspect us. That's alright. A life of peace. Character. You can see somebody that offended you. Come, pastor. And he comes to meet you. And like Esau and Jacob, you are the first to hug him. And you can stand and say, I love you with all my heart. How is your ministry doing? How is everything doing? Not that you see somebody going down and say, he insulted me the other day. You will know that this head has. Some of those things we watch people do, be careful. It's not proof of maturity. It's proof of foolishness. It's a sign that there is no growth. For God so loved the world, you must also love men. The more you become like him, the more you love men. I love people. You don't know how happy I am after the grace when our little children all run here and come and jump on me. Some of you are trying to clean my suit. What is the suit? Let them jump. They are teaching me something. The day these children become afraid of you, you should go for a retreat. Because it's a sign that there is a presence you are carrying that is pungent. They don't have the kind of understanding that should ordinarily create fear. Something about your countenance, which is a product of something in your head, is translating to the fear of those kids. This is how to live a useful life. Next time you say you are growing spiritually, don't say it because they are inviting you for meetings. No. Don't say it just because you bought a new car. Wonderful as it is, you must take it in this order. When you go back home now, for you and for your loved ones, take that test. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is my love life? It's easy to lie that you love God. But my neighbor, my friends, my people, my roommate, my nasty, unbelieving roommate, my fellow person in the department here as a worker, do I love to see the good in others? Or do I rejoice when I destroy others? Where I'm tearing other people down, do I derive fulfillment from it? Then you must go to God. And then character. Can I say I'm a man of character? Can I say I'm a woman of character? Can I say I'm a man of character? Anointing takes you up, character keeps you there. There are people who don't have character. That's why they will go to a man's church and tear down the people. Look for all the wealthy people seated in front in the church and organize a special meeting and ask them for money and ask them for whatever it is, prophecy, and you give money. No character. It's because a man of God does not have character that you go and bring another pastor to come and raise money for him. And you are manipulating people. And they are giving their all, not willingly. You will know they will not be blessed. And the man is there. When they finish, they will now share it. And pray over the money. And lie that let it be used for the advancement of your kingdom. Number 3, understanding. And number 4. The outworkings of the power of God. If this is working in your life, these 4 things, and in ever increasing measure, then please give yourself rest. You are growing. It doesn't matter which prophet comes to meet you and say, Jimmy, I saw something 2 weeks ago. You are not growing. Please tear that paper and throw it away and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm growing in love. I'm growing in character. Because you have to be careful. There are all kinds of people who will come to you day and night manipulating your understanding about spiritual things. Do you know how many visions and dreams I've gotten in my life? All kinds of things. There was a time I was sowing in the spirit so powerfully, and then came this 5 or 6 useless page text message by whoever, I can't remember. I think we're organizing all kinds of things. And say I should be careful what I am teaching. Something about what I'm teaching, I just deleted it. I said, go away, please. It's when you don't know God that I'm not saying you should be cynical. There are times that God can use people to caution you, but not that people just carry their ignorance crying for relevance and come and confuse your consistency with God and you go back feeling bad. You are loving God. Someone just says, I have a dream, oh, and in that dream, I saw you. You were standing like a madman by the roadside. And you are believing that nonsense? I reject it. Madman, doing what? By which roadside? am hidden in Christ and Christ in God. It may not be so for all of us, but that's what I believe. Sometimes you may be the one who even had that dream yourself, and you got up and say, me, naked, in my secondary school, I'm wearing pajamas, shirt, no trouser, and I'm sitting in my secondary school. It's a revelation of an attack in your life. So what do you do as a believer? Enforce your victory. Don't complain. Don't send a text to head of department prayer, Jimmy. Do you know, it's amazing how people, the same thing they tell you, they tell him, they tell every man of God, just anybody they know. And they say, at least I know that up to 10 people are praying for me. Then they go to bed. Laziness. You get up and say, in the name of Jesus, the spirit that wants to cause delay, you saw yourself in an old building, your former house, Satan, you are a liar. The Bible says the path of the just, not I want to move forward. That's not prayer. It is written. That's the basis of your prayer. Shakos katabarakata. The spirit that keeps me down, I take authority over you. I am risen with Christ. I decree and declare that no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. I have been called out of every tribe and tongue. This is the believer walking your salvation with fear and trembling. There is no level you get to that you stop doing this thing I'm saying. You are too big to do it, you will be too big to rise. Are we together now? People send me text messages, Apostle, I saw you having a plane crash. I just see that in the name of Jesus, not me. No way. The plane was made of metals. The metals were in the earth. I was given dominion over the earth. It didn't say I'm given dominion when I'm walking on land. I was given dominion. I don't just say I will arrive safely. That's not enough for me. I need to know the basis of arriving safely. Except that plane was made of smoke. If it was made of metals and I am above it, he that cometh from above is above all. If it will crash, I will not enter it. But if I enter it, it's God that is in charge of that plane. It's not a generic belief. It's mine. It's my understanding. I don't believe there is any mortal man born of a woman on earth that can kill me. I don't believe I will eat poison and die. I don't believe it. It's only in heaven that will tell how many times I've eaten it. I won't die, oh. No. No. I will not pray for people carrying communicable diseases. And after 10 years, they now check my system and find out that while I was praying for one, the thing entered me. I better go back and flog it out with God and pray on a handkerchief and say, everybody come and touch it. But if God tells me lay hands, I must find out. There has to be something in my life. If Satan talks to me, I will talk back to him. If I hear God, I should be able to hear Satan. I'm not afraid of hearing a voice. If Satan talks to me, I know he's the one. Oh, Satan, this is you. It is written. I shall not fail. It is written. I and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders. It is written. Ah, Satan, how did you get to my room? That's a foolish question. Satan came to Jesus. In terms of oppression, let them go. But in terms of maybe Satan coming, let me tell you, it is possible that the higher you are growing, one day you will see him. Satan, real, not a demon. If you see him, nothing should scare you. He is Satan. There is a gulf between two of you, light and darkness. Just that your eyes seeing you close does not mean that's all there is. He shall keep his angels charge over you. They shall bear thee up on their wings, lest thou dash your feet against the stone. That's what the Bible says, that for as the mountains surround Jerusalem, right? So God has surrounded us. That's how I live my life. Are you ready to pray tonight? Can you say you are growing spiritually? For some of you, no. For some of you, no. And we are going to pray. Some of you are even leading groups, prayer groups, but you are not growing spiritually. Some of you are pastoring churches, but you are not growing spiritually. Some of you are leaders of Christian organizations, you are not growing spiritually. Rise up on your feet and let's pray. Some of you have every man of God's message. You listen to 5 messages per day and you convince yourself that just because you are listening to it, you are growing. No, sir. No, sir. Lift your voice and thank the Lord for what you have just heard tonight. growth. Growth. Shabarakota sibele katuya shabaradaros. Thank you. Lord, we are here to grow. We are here to grow. Tonight you have given us understanding. Tonight you have opened up the truth of your word to us. We want to be matured believers. Not just church goers. Not just koinonia followers. Not just Pentecostals. Not just Christians. We want to grow. Grounded and rooted in the truth. Make sure you are praying. Lift your voice and pray. Shagata barakatosi alabakanda brediskaliada. Lord, we want to get our priorities right based on the revelation of the truth that you have revealed to us. We do not want to live our lives in flattery, deceiving ourselves, comparing ourselves with ourselves, getting the accolades of men and not growing by your standard. Hallelujah. We are going to pray four quick prayer points. Number one, Lord, let the love of God in me and let the love of God expressed towards my fellow men, let it grow in ever increasing measure in my life. Lift your voice and pray. The spirit of hatred, a wicked and a bitter spirit, the spirit that rejoices over the downfall of others, the spirit that makes me a naysayer, the spirit that makes me a sadist, I rejoice when people go down. I rejoice when things are not working well in their lives. I come against that spirit. I declare that my love life is intact. Lift your voice and pray. I'm not only a lover of your presence. I'm not only a lover of your word. I'm a lover of your people. I love men. I love men. They are your highest creation. I love men. I love the brethren. I love the people of God. I love my fellow brothers and sisters. I will never be part of the destruction of anyone called by the name of the Lord. Pray. I love every ministry. I love every church. I love every Christian organization. I love and honor every man of God. I love with all my heart. The love of God is richly, richly at work in me, in ever increasing measure. Hatred cannot be part of my life. Malice cannot be part of my life. A divisive spirit can never be part of my life. My love is communicated through words. My love is communicated in sacrifice, communicated in giving. Hallelujah. Number two, you're going to cry and say, Lord, make me a man of character, a woman of character. Leave understanding, leave anointing, we're coming here. But cry and say, Lord, edit my life. Give me stability. Let me not destroy my opportunities because of lack of character. Lift your voice and pray. Character. And if a man err not in words, that man is a perfect man. Teach me how to talk. Let the fruit of the spirit take away the attributes of the flesh. Let the fruit of the spirit be richly at work in me. Let me not sit down and conceive wickedness in my heart. Character. 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 Hallelujah. Number three, you're going to say, Lord, open my understanding and increase my comprehension of the truth. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, I don't want to be attending Koinonia week in, week out. Attending church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday, every Thursday, every Friday. Attending departmental meetings. Yet I'm not growing. Lord, open my understanding. Let me have an exact comprehension of truth. The truth that brings me to a point of victory. Lord, give me the truth that works, that will lift me up, that will make me mighty. Exousia, dominion, authority on the strength of truth. Pray. Stability in my life. Grant unto me truth. Open my eyes. Take away fear from my life. Let truth give me stability. Let truth give me prosperity. Let truth give me influence. Let truth keep me away from fear, the fear of death, the fear of oppression.
I cry for understanding, illumination, light, understanding, passion for the word, passion for the word. Open down my eyes that I may behold one prostrate. Teach me something about Satan that gives me victory. Lord, teach me something about yourself. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of revelation. I receive of your ministry.
Hallelujah. The last prayer point. Lord, make me powerful. Listen, you have to pray this prayer. I'm tired of a powerless Christian life. No anointing, no result. Your words are empty. You touch somebody's head, no blessing. Nothing about your life is what attracting people. No. No. You cook food and people eat it. No anointing. You bless people. You call someone. Somebody sows into your life and never receives any harvest. Lord, bring genuine power to my life. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, we receive power. We contend for real, authentic spiritual power. Power. Power that produces undeniable results. Power to heal the sick. Power to cleanse the lepers. In the name of Jesus. Power to speak into the lives of men. Power to change their situations. Power to enforce growth. Power to enforce prosperity. Power to save the lost. That we become demonstrators of the reality of the life of Jesus. Pray. Send power to my family. Send genuine power to my church. Not just falling down and standing up. Authentic power that produces results. Authentic power where your words become like the word of God. Where your communications are greatly desired. Because your speaking bring life to men. Hallelujah. Can I add just one more prayer? Lord, bring the power to prosper in my life. The power to prosper is not just about money. It's the grace that makes things work. It's called the power to prosper. If all you get from the power to prosper is money, you have shortchanged that power. The power to prosper is the power of performance. There is a grace that makes things work. Lift your voice and cry, Lord, bring this power to my life. The power to prosper. The power to prosper. Hey. The power to prosper. The power to prosper. The power to prosper. Sekete leka prosata balata. The power to prosper. The power to prosper. Ever increasing prosperity. Everything working. The lines falling for me in pleasant places. Having a goodly heritage. The power to prosper. Always working for my good. The power to prosper. Hallelujah. When the power to prosper comes upon you, in 2 weeks, what will happen in your life will surprise you. You will see things that have been locked up in the realm of the spirit manifesting. The power to prosper. A It is God that gives it. Hallelujah. I'm going to make an altar call now. Please stand, everybody. Please, no movement. I want us to develop a culture of respecting souls. Are we together now? Most churches don't teach. They take altar call, but they don't teach members to respect it as a priceless miracle. The next time you ever see one person coming to Jesus Christ, please respect it. Not only celebrate them, celebrate it. Remember, Jesus died for men. Are we together? When you hear that someone's genotype was changed, you clap, you stand up, you hear. But when we say someone's life is about to change, the foundation for true change is that someone meets Jesus. You don't know what their conditions are. I'm about to make an altar call right now. Any of the overflows, 1, 2, 3, and those following online. Listen, you must be born again. It's not a religious initiation. It is the only way. The only way to encounter Jesus. The only way to begin to make meaning out of your life. The Bible says, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that includes you, that if you believe in him, you will have Zoe, his life. That divine life. A life that is characterized by victory. Wherever you are, you have been coming to church, you have a Christian name, you have never given your life to Jesus. Or you are in the second category. You've given your heart to the Lord, but your ways are not right with God. And you are saying, Apostle, haven't heard you tonight. I'm not only not growing, but I don't even think that I'm retrogressing. But tonight, as you are making this call, I want to run to Jesus unashamedly. Whether you are in overflow 1, 2, 3. For those at overflow 3, for time, for the sake of distance, you can just walk to the front of your projector screen. But for overflow 1 and 2, and those in here, please make your way quickly. You belong to any of these two categories. While we are clapping for you, please very quickly, we have just a minute or two. Wherever you are, God bless you. Someone has to be coming. Someone has to be coming to Jesus wherever you are. Don't allow anyone stop you. This is the beginning of a life of grace and victory. Koinonia, celebrate them. They are coming by the Spirit. God bless you. God bless you for the courage. God bless you. God bless you. Jesus is truly the answer for your life. God bless you, sir. They are coming. Are you clapping for them? Coming from everywhere. You are saying, man of God, I want to start afresh with Jesus. This is a family that loves you. We will never condemn you. There is always a new beginning for you. Make your way to the front. Quickly, make your way to the front. I perceive that someone is still thinking about it and is saying, Apostle, I'm not sure if I should come. If you are not sure, make your way quickly. Join them. Join them very quickly. Join them very quickly. Join them very quickly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, gentlemen and ladies, I salute you. You don't come out to receive an award as though you are going into a prison cell. The way people come out to receive salvation, sometimes, of course, I understand sometimes it can be a very emotional thing, but many times, you know, people are ashamed. Who is looking at me? What you are receiving is greater than any check. What you are receiving is greater than a degree, is greater than a certificate, is greater than whatever it is. So I want you to be very intentional. Some of you are rededicating your life, some for the first time, doesn't matter what category. Just lift with me your right hands, please, and just say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus. Mean it from your heart, overflow 3. Those online, please follow. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Tonight, I have heard your word. I want to love you and live for you and grow. Therefore, I receive Jesus into my heart. I declare you the Lord of my life. I declare that you are my Savior. I accept the gift of righteousness. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. From tonight, I declare that I'm a new creation. Your life is in me. Victory is mine. In the name of Jesus. Keep your hands lifted. Lord, I thank you for these precious, precious people that you died for. They have made these declarations, and Lord, according to the integrity of your word, I declare their sins forgiven in the name of Jesus.
I pray that tonight begins to be for you the best days of your life. The Lord Himself will keep you in the fold. He will guide your life and He will make you a sign and a wonder. I decree and declare that every legal access that the devil has over your life is hereby broken now and forever. In the name of Jesus, I welcome you into the greatest family, the family of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you very much. Now, please follow the lady waving her hands, all of you this way. Just follow the lady. They will lead you somewhere and communicate some more for you. Please, let's appreciate them.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaMentoring Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/KoinoniaENI. You can also download our messages on www.forshared.com. Mentoring Network International, duplicating the glorious of God's life on earth.